Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Just a short verse of scripture this morning. I'll let you be seated. John chapter 19. John chapter 19 and verse 30. This is at the end of the life of Jesus as he was hanging on the cross. It says, when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. That's what I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on this thought, "It is finished." Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the blessings you've already given us. Lord, thank you today for loading us with so many benefits. We just love you today. Mercy this new every morning. Our trust and our hope is in you today. And God, we thank you for your example of faithfulness, of obedience, and of victory. God, we praise you today. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying. Let it find good ground in our heart. Let us respond accordingly. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Praise God. Give him one more hand clap. Give him a shout in this house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. God bless you. Now, in case you're thinking, they just said he isn't finished, and he's preaching it is finished. Well, you got to read the words. Jesus said, "It is finished," but he didn't say, "I am finished." So I'm not contradicting what they said. The fact that he's not finished is the reason everything else is finished. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. If I were to ask you, and of course some people may not even know this day, we used to always, anybody could answer this, but if I were to say, what's significance in our country or in our history would June the 6th, 1944 play? Anybody want to throw a rock at that? At D-Day. Look at it, I got some history buffs. I was thinking about that this morning. Our country has been involved in a couple of world wars where there was just great evil in the world, and we took it upon ourselves to step in to help right some wrongs and do some things and fought for freedom and victory. And D-Day is considered one of the major turning points of World War II. Of course, I could also, that was opened up the passage to the liberation of Europe. And then I could talk to you about the Battle of Midway, which stopped the Japanese push in the Pacific. Or even I could remind you of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where the bombs were dropped, and that took Japan out of the running completely. Turning points in a great war. Since the beginning of time, and since the fall and failure of man at the beginning, there's been a war for the souls of men. And there's no greater turning point that you'll find in Scripture than what happened at Calvary. What Jesus did at Calvary has the power to save the souls of men. In the natural, countries have fought for freedom and for liberty and have won it for spaces of time and years and centuries even, maybe for their countries where it was a natural freedom, it was natural liberty, but it had nothing to do with where they would spend eternity. But what Jesus did at Calvary not only gave us victory over this world and over the things of this world, but it also gave us the opportunity for our souls to be saved. It was his blood that would purchase us and that would redeem us. It is his blood that would wash us, as the old hymn said, whiter than snow. Or even before the hymn was wrote, the scripture would tell us that the blood of Jesus cleanseth us from all sin. I'm thankful for that today. And in this last part of the story of his crucifixion, words recorded by John, he was thirsty and said as much, "I thirst." And he did this to fulfill scripture, to fulfill prophecy. And they brought him the sponge full of vinegar. He received that and he said, "It is finished." That's a tiny word, "it." I've preached on "if" before, and what a big word "if" could be, and even though it's just two letters. But this word "it," but it can mean anything that you can fit into it. The "it" can be any person, any place, anything, any action that a person does. That's what "it" can be. It can be whatever you decide to name it, and it'll have all the power that you give it. It. In this world that we're in today, we don't have a lot of say and control in things. We vote, but it don't really matter. They're going to do what they're going to do. And if we're not careful, we'll just start saying, you know, you can vote, you can do this and that. You can pray, or you can do this or that, but this is the way the world's going. That's just the way it is. The world has made its rules. And if we're not careful, we begin to trust the rules of the creation more than the rules of the Creator. The "it" in our life will become the rule that we live by as we bow to it and say, "I've accepted this. This is the way it is." The world works a certain way. And the sooner I accept that, the better off I'm going to be. Don't try to change it. Don't just accept it. Just conform to it. Just shrink in and buy it and believe this is just all I'll ever have. Just shrug your shoulders. Become complacent and say, you know, it's not going to get better. This is just the way it is. I think that I have mentioned this before, but back in 1986, there was a very popular song that said, "That's just the way it is. Some things will never change." But there's another line in it that says, "That's just the way it is. Ah, but don't you believe it." I tell you, that ought to be a hymn. That ought to be sung in the church. Because just like I love what Dusty was preaching this morning. It was so good. It was a word to somebody today. Wherever you're at in the middle of this thing, between the problem and the promise, if I said that right, but wherever you're at, something's coming better. Something's on the way for you. Don't believe that this is just all there is. Long before they ever wrote this song and it became a hit on the charts, God was showing his people it never has to be how it is. Yeah? I think about Hezekiah when the prophet Isaiah came and told him, "The Lord said, get your house in order, you shall die." But he turned his face to the wall and prayed and he wept before the Lord. And before Isaiah got out of the yard, he told him, he said, "Go back and tell him I have added 15 years to his life." Let me tell you, when you've got the Lord on your side, it never has to be, "This is just how it is. It's just the way it is." No, that's not. It doesn't have to just be that way. Abraham and Sarah, you're too old to have kids. That's just the way it is. Why don't you ask Isaac about that? Praise God. Mary, you've never been married. You've never known a man. You can't be carrying a child. Well, guess what? Jesus came along. Sometimes it's not just the way it is when Jesus is involved. Man, this great wedding is good, but we have run out of wine. I guess that's it. No, here comes one that can turn water into wine. Come on. Well, you know, Lord, we got all these people come to hear you preach today, but they're starving, they're hungry. Let's send them somewhere to get food because all we have is just a few loaves of bread, a couple of fishes. That's all we got, and it is not enough to feed this multitude, but it is enough when Jesus gets involved. Come on, somebody. There was a man that was born blind. And they said, surely his parents have sinned or he has sinned. That's just the way it is. and he's blind. But it didn't take long till Jesus showed up, and all of a sudden he said, "What I know is this, is I once was blind, but now I see." It doesn't have to stay the way it is. It can be dealt with when you have the Lord on your side. Lazarus, go roll the stone away. Lord, it's like this. He's been dead 4 days and he stinks. It's over. It's done. Just go roll the stone away. Lazarus, come forth. Let me tell you, once Jesus gets involved, it never has to just stay that way. Whatever the it is that's trying to keep you in the tomb, whatever the it is that's trying to keep you in the dark, whatever the it is that's trying to shut you down, break you down, break your heart, it is finished when Jesus gets involved with it. Jesus disproved the theory of that's just the way it is. He said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And friend, that may make you sound like a literal religious nut in this day and hour. But I still believe that with God, all things are possible. I believe that God can still open the eyes of the blind. And I believe that he can still raise the dead. And I still believe that his blood can wash away the stain of sin in our life. I still believe that he can give me joy unspeakable and full of glory. I still believe in the peace, joy of the Holy Ghost. I believe that people still speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And I still believe that there is a church that God is building. And I still believe that it is called by his name. And I still believe that he's coming back to get it one day. I'm thankful that Jesus can dispose any of those it's that we have in our life that are trying to turn us against the faith, turn us away from him. Whatever it is has to bow to him. Every it will bow to him, for every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. Jesus knew the world that we would live in today. That when he said it is finished, it was finished for the people of that day, for the next century and the next century all the way to where we are today. That still works. That phrase is still powerful. That phrase is still forever settled in heaven. It wasn't just a coincidence that it happened at Calvary, where the greatest act of victory was ever done. When Jesus carried that cross, when he let them nail him to that cross, he said, "Don't you know I can stop this? I could call angels. They could deliver me now." But he was obedient to the death of the cross for the joy that was set before him. He knew that he was going to finally have the last say over all of it. It is finished. There's no more fitting last words to be spoken right there, because when he said it is finished, it was just the beginning for us. It would give us victory over anything that came our way. When we follow him and when we have the cross on our shoulder, when we kneel to the cross of Calvary and we accept that he died for our sins and that he rose from the grave and we're buried in his name and filled with his spirit. Honey, let me tell you something. It was only the beginning for us. Now, whatever it is that comes against me has got to bow at the name of Jesus. When did we stop using his name? When did we stop calling on the name that's above every name? Let me tell you, it wasn't just a one-time thing in this altar, but it's a way of life. I live for him. The scripture says, my life is hid in Christ. I go nowhere without him. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It's greater than any of the it's. It is finished. He knew it would be a world that was full of trouble, perversion and sickness, heartache, uncertainty. He knew we would be tempted to say in our own lives, it's been in my family. Yeah, that's just the way it is. We've talked about those kind of things before, generational things that get handed down. And you've seen all the little quotes, the clever quotes. It ran in my family till it ran into me. And then when it ran into Jesus, it ran out. You don't have to be a product of your past. There's some things you don't have to receive that inheritance. So, you know, I know sometimes that there's a teaching and a training as a child, and so it's ingrained in you. But I do believe that something happens when we come to Jesus. I do believe that something happens when we come to Him. And what I know is this, because, honey, I've lived it. I'm not just singing a pretty song. I'm not just whistling Dixie, as they used to say. I'm not just up here throwing words into the air. I have lived on the other side of Calvary. I've lived in a life where I didn't talk to Him. I didn't worship Him. Days I never thought about Him. Yeah? Days when I just did my own thing. I've lived in a place where He had no part of my life. But I know that once you yield to Him, and once you bow to Him, and once you believe in Him, and once you become a worshiper of Him, it changes who you are. And whatever it was that had you bound, and I don't care how many of it was, whatever it is finished when it meets Him. Whenever it meets Him, it is finished. I serve a God that delivers to the uttermost. I serve a God that delivers completely. I am complete in Him. I was not complete when I was in the world, but I am complete in Him. There was something that was draining me, something that was taking things away from me. But when I met Him, it stopped. I want you to know today, whatever it is that you're going through, whatever it is that's attacking your peace, whatever it is that's attacking your faith and attacking your walk, if you'll just start putting the name of Jesus on it, it will be finished. God's people are not wimps. We're not sissies. We're not something to just be kicked around and walked on, but God's people are tough. They can be stoned and left for dead and still get up and start preaching. They can be shipwrecked and stay in the deep for 3 days and three nights, but still, man, they can get swallowed by a great fish, get spit up and start preaching. They can walk through fire, sleep with lions, yeah, kill giants, yeah. Let me tell you something. God's people are tough. Whatever it comes to anything trying to come against them, it just has to go ahead and bow down to this fact that Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the victor, friend, let me tell you, He said it is finished. And I wish sometimes that we would just get like Him and say, you know what? The cross was the ultimate sign of obedience. And if we would just fall into obedience with Christ and open up our mouth and prophesy to whatever's bothering us, you are finished. It is finished. You got to go in Jesus' name. The question has been asked to me, this just came to my mind. Somebody said, how come our elders saw this and saw that? You want to know why? Because they decided it's finished. I'm not letting all this stuff have a rule in my life. This is where Jesus lives. I'm not letting all this stuff play in my mind. That's where Jesus dwells. I'm not letting all that stuff in my heart because I gave it to Him. He put a new heart in me, and I'm not letting anything else inhabit that space. Whenever we get to that place where we can say, you know what, I'm not bowing to the world. I'm not going to flirt with the world. I'm not going to go on a secret date with the world. Hello? Yeah, I know I'm meddling. That's all right. I'm the pastor. That's my card. I get to do it. I'm telling you that whenever we become obedient to the cross, He said, take up your cross. Whenever we become obedient to the cross and walk with that cross on a daily basis, whatever comes against you, it is finished. Somebody ought to lift their hands and thank God, because you ain't seen a way out. You've been like, I don't see a way out. This is going to always bother me. This is always going to be troubling me. It is finished. Hey, Israel thought Egypt was going to be the end of them till God said, oh, no, it is finished. Those Egyptians you see today, you'll see no more forever. That's right. You won't see them no more. Their days are over. Their days are numbered. I'm about to cover them up in the water. You need to believe what happened when you got covered up in the water. I know we come out, we're still flesh and blood, and I know we'll still fight temptation, and we'll still have things going on in our life, but I believe that something really happened when I went down in the water in the name of Jesus. The sin, it's finished. The shame, it's finished. The doubt, it's finished. Something happens. Something happens when I call His name. Something happens when I call His name. It is finished. And friend, if that can't still get us excited, I don't know what will. Because this world is going to get worse and worse. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. Perilous times are coming upon us. But the church is victorious. Jesus said, I'm building a church on this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are the victorious bride of Christ. Listen, I don't know what the it that you have decided to accept and live with. I don't know what that is. But I knew that Jesus had one final thing to say about it. And it was simply, it is finished. What's finished? It is. Like I said, very small word, but it contains anything you can put in it. It's an endless, just a void that you can never fill it, because whatever it is, you can say, well, it's addiction, it's depression, it's fear, it's doubt, it's shame, well, it's heartache, it's pain, it's grief. Well, you just keep filling up. But I'm telling you that it is finished. Even Jesus told His disciples, he said, I'm telling you a lot of things that are about to happen, and now you have sorrow. But there's coming a day when you're going to have joy, and no man will be able to take that joy from you. Sorrow will go away. It will be finished. It may have a season, but the reason is because I'm not finished. So it's finished. The reason you can rest assured that heartache and grief and sorrow have an end is because He's not done yet. And He doesn't intend you to live beaten down for the rest of your life. He doesn't intend you to have just no way out for the rest of your life. It's finished. Jesus went to Calvary, the spotless Lamb of God nailed to the cross, His blood flowing for all ages to come, so it could be finished in our life. He finished it there so it could be finished here. He finished it there so it could be finished it here. He finished it over 2,000 years ago so that today, in 2026, that whatever it is coming against you could be finished. Whatever it is. Jesus said, or in Revelation 21 and 5, I make all things new. I make all things new. New. That's got to be more than a bumper sticker for our life. You got to grab that. He said, I make it new. I see your scars. I see your hurt. I see your fear. I see all those things. But I'm telling you, give your life to me, because I make all things new. And then don't be afraid to walk in what He made you. You don't have to drop your head and say, I don't feel worthy to walk in what He made me. Let people see what He did in your life. There was a man in the book of Acts set by the gate, and he was lame. I think it says he was lame from the womb. He was lame from his mother's womb. And he has no expectation of anything else, because he hadn't met the man yet. He has no expectation. He's conformed to this life. It's been so long. And for him, it is all that he has. The money that he would collect, it is all he would get. He expected something when he saw John and Peter walking into the synagogue that day, to the temple. He looked up expecting to receive something. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. And he said, in the name of Jesus, rise. He spoke to the it that had that man bound. Rise up and walk. And he took the man by the hand. And immediately his ankle bones received strength. And he's never walked, but all of a sudden he knows how to walk. Well, even if he heals you, you have never walked, so you can't walk. Just watch me. Well, you've never ran. You never stood upright. How? Because when Jesus gets involved, he makes all things new. And he's not going to give you the legs to run and then not let you run. Hey? He's not going to give you strength in them ankle bones and then you can't even stand up. This man was able to leap and walk and go into a place. He could actually now go in the temple, a place he was never able to go before. Because that crippling effect that was in his body, that sickness that was in his body, it was finished. At the name of Jesus, it was done. At faith in his name, Peter said his name, and faith in his name has made this man whole. He's not refurbished. He's new. New muscle. New bone. It grew. It strengthened. It formed. Whatever he had to have, he did it. He didn't hop up on crippled legs. He was whole. That is what happens with Jesus. It is finished. Sin, fear, doubt, addiction, depression, hurt, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, stress, anxiety, just whatever it is, you know what it is. But now it is finished. It is finished stopping you. Come on, I'm going to just say that in the Holy Ghost right now. I declare that in the name of Jesus, by the Spirit of the Lord. It is finished right now, stopping you, controlling you, ruling over you, hurting you, discouraging you, stealing your joy, stealing your peace. It is finished, wrecking your life right now. It is finished. Oh, I wish somebody could believe it. I wish somebody could stand up and say, Pastor, I received that word right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, you can put a smile on and you can fool everybody. But you know if something's got a hold of you, and today it could be done. It could be done today. If you just stood up and declared, it is finished. Got no more power in my life. It is finished. I know what the world says and the neighbors say and people say, hey, now just calm down. Come on, just calm down, brother. Hey, this happens in church. Hey, come on now, calm down. Don't get no expectations. You'll only get hurt. But one writer said, my expectation is in the Lord, in a God who cannot lie, in a God who is never lost, and in a God who does not fail. That's who my expectation's in today. Hey, now, that's just the way it is. But don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Somebody ought to rewrite that, make it a Christian song, I'm telling you. Don't you believe it? In Romans 12:2, the Apostle Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Don't be shoved into the mold that this world is saying. Just accept it. Just believe that. Just accept it. This is who you're going to be. This is how it is. Maybe that's good for them, but it's not good for you. You'll never be good enough. You'll never be holy enough. You'll never be righteous enough. And the world has all this theology of how you should live and how you should just accept things and be, and that's just it, and you're okay just like you are. We're not okay just like we are. We need him. Don't be conformed to this world. He's writing this to the saints, so I'm talking to the saints. Don't conform. Don't conform to the world. You have been given the greatest gift ever. You have been filled with the greatest gift ever. Let me tell you, don't conform to this world. Don't this far into it. Don't surrender now. Don't conform to this world. Oh, it'll be all right. It'll be all right. Don't worry about getting answers. Just it'll be all right. Don't worry about God coming through. It'll be all right. Don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When your mind gets right, your life will start changing. He said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's time to start thinking different. Come on. It's time that we start thinking different. That we stop thinking and just assuming and just believing just because of what we see. We walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, somebody. We believe, we don't look at the things that are seen because they're temporary, but we look at what's unseen because it is eternal. I'm trying to help somebody in here today. I wish you would hear me. I wish you would hear your pastor here for just a minute. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But if all you ever think is I'll never make it, then you'll never make it. You will never rise above the level of what you think in your mind. You can know what the scripture says, but if you think, not for me, if you think I'm not good enough, if you think I can't beat it, then you never will. But if you start thinking about Calvary, about that Lamb of God that stretched out on that cross, and they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross, come on, somebody. And with the blood of Jesus running down that cross, if you can still look at your problem and say you got the better of me, you hadn't believed what Jesus done at Calvary. But if you know you've been bought by the blood, if you know you've been filled with the Spirit, then you know that there ain't nothing that can beat you. There ain't nothing can defeat you. And there ain't nothing, Jesus said, there ain't nothing and nobody can take them out of my hand. Oh, it's time to start walking in victory today. Come on, you ain't got to be ashamed of just because of who you were. Doesn't mean you ain't got a right now to praise God in the sanctuary. Come on, just because you got a checkered past, come on, it don't mean you can't lift your hands and cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Let me tell you, once he washes you, he makes all things new. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. And if anybody can praise him, 10 lepers came and got a blessing and a miracle, and that leper turned around and went back. Yeah, I know what I looked like. I know when you saw me before, my skin was rotten off my body. I know I smelled and I was awful, but I had to turn around and come back to you and give you praise and give you glory because you made all things new. You don't have to. Oh, let me tell you, if anybody could have ran for cover and bailed out, it would have been Peter. Man, Lord, I won't deny you. I won't deny you. I won't deny you. You will. And he did. And he didn't just deny him, cussing and carrying on. Cussing, I don't know this man. I don't know him. The man that saved you from drowning when you was walking on water, you don't know him? I don't know where anybody else was. I can't believe one of them other disciples didn't slap him right in the back of the head. Are you serious? And this man still got up and preached. He preached the keynote message on the day of Pentecost. He preached the message that birthed the church, that brought this church into existence. He could have said, not me, Lord. I denied you. You know, I denied you. I know. But I didn't take the keys from you either. I need you to preach. I need you to do what I ask you to, Peter. I need you to do it. I need you to do it. Listen, sometimes you just got to learn. I preached this message a long time ago, but I jotted this down. Sometimes you got to face it, fight it, beat it. Face it, fight it, and beat it. You just look at David. He ran out to that battlefield. He faced the giant. He fought the giant, and he beat the giant. And it wasn't his skill. He said, you come to me with a sword and with a shield and with a spear. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And Goliath had a lot of victories, but it was finished for Goliath. His days as champion were over. It was finished. You can do the same thing. You can defeat it. You can overcome it. And you can conquer it. Jesus died so we could have power over it. He died so he could deliver us from it. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, and you, that's me, that's you, being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, gave life to, quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. He forgave you all your trespasses. Blotted out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. It was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way. Cleared the path for us, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In it. He made a show openly. It looked like he was the loser, but he was the victor. It looked like he was defeated, but he was winning the whole time. Let me tell you, he ain't never lost. And he was making a show. He was making a show of them in it. It is finished. When he said it is finished, everything that knew that it could come against our flesh knew right then and there. If they've got Jesus, they've got power over us. If they've got Jesus, they can do it. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel, the name of Jesus, his blood, his spirit, is more powerful than any it that is trying to rule and ruin your life. We know the scripture, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. We could read it. Don't you know the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That was us. But don't be deceived. Not fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. They can't inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. The were indicates that's not who we are anymore. Such were some of you, but now you are washed, sanctified, justified. That's just like it never happened. In the name, that's all things new. In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it is finished. I'm telling somebody in here today, if you will receive it, you're going to start seeing it better and better than it's ever been. You're going to start seeing God moving and God doing things, because it's not that he hasn't been, you just haven't been able to see it. You've been conformed to another voice. You've listened to something else, but the voice of the Lord is saying, it is finished. It is finished in your life. It's over in your life. That shame, that game of shame that you've been running in your life, it's over with. You are his child. You are his minister. You are his church. You are his bride. You are what he said you are. And that is fearfully and wonderfully made. Calvary. That's where old things go to die. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, you know it. Therefore, if any man, of course woman, applies, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. all things are become new. My goodness, how powerful these scriptures are. They haven't lost any power, but it doesn't mean that they haven't lost effect. Because if we think differently than God thinks about us, we can read that and it don't even move us anymore. But when I read it, I instantly remember who I was. And then I instantly say, but that's not me anymore. I'm not glad about who I was. I have no misgivings about who I was. I have people tell me all the time, there's no way that was you, Pastor. There's no way you were mean. I can't believe you ever said a cross word. Because all things are made new. You can't see that old man anymore. You can't see who I used to be anymore. But I know who I was before him. I know what I did before him, and I know what had power over me before him. But that night at the altar, and that night in the baptistry, and that night in that hallway when he filled me with the Holy Ghost, let me tell you, it was finished. And so when I read these words, if any man be in Christ, if you're not sure about yourself, you need to ask yourself, where am I? Am I still in him? He filled me. He said he'd never leave me. But he didn't say I couldn't leave him. You think because he's in here, we can still leave him. We leave him in our actions and in our thoughts all the time. Come on, somebody. I'm here to tell you today that you are a new creature and that those old things are passed away. It is finished. Whatever it is, I don't care what it is, it is finished. It is finished lying to you. It is finished tormenting you. It is finished deceiving you and destroying you. Today, it is finished in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. It is finished. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, music. Come on to the music, please. Thank you, Jesus. You can stand with me this morning. Calvary, that's where those old things go to die. You take those old things to Calvary, they can't live. The prophet Isaiah said this in Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I'm asking the church today, who has believed this report? Who has believed this word that's been preached today? Not because it came from me. I'm just the vessel God's using today, but I'm telling you, the word of the Lord is sure. Who has believed our report, and whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But surely he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. This is what he went through so it could be finished. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.